Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Redoubt, and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show coming at you right here on Election Day 2016, a day which will live in infamy. This is going to be a short show, but we got some things that we got to get out, things that we want to cover. Sorry that I missed you guys on Sunday evening this week. I was out of town. Attending a seminar, and it was a great time. My intentions were to get back early enough to get everything ready together for the show for Sunday night, and that obviously didn't happen. Got in later than I expected. There was a lot to unpack, and I was wiped out. Long days over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So here we are on Election Day 2016, and everybody is sitting with bated breath waiting to see how it's all going to come down, how all the pieces are going to fall. So that's what episode 1642 is. I want to talk about the elections. We got a little bit of news here and throw in some commentary. But I want to talk about the election chaos and keeping our heads about us. There is a lot that we will have to contend with in the future, regardless of how this all plays out. Now, I could say, actually, before I go into or in any further, I just saw a report by Google Analytics. They're calling for a Trump victory. That's Google. That was their forecast last night when I was perusing all the election stuff. But remember, there is not just a presidential election going on, although that is very significant, and that's where our eyes are on. I am going to go vote as soon as I upload this. So a lot of you guys are out there doing work and lives, and some point throughout the day, you're going to get an alert that there's a new audio file uploaded to the Podbean player, and you'll be listening this afternoon. So I really want to address after the elections, okay? After the freak show is behind us, that we're all going to be thankful for. But Google, they're saying the Trump win is predicted. Wouldn't that be interesting? Okay, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary is brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, and the 10-book series, the 299 Days book series about the societal and economic collapse and the rebuilding. We always look to this not as a message of doom, but as a message of, well, a new opportunity, a new beginning. And especially with the eye toward the rebuilding. That's why we are trying to become self-reliant so you can weather the storm, so you can be effective on the other side. And you have a say in what type of society you emerge into. Now, Russia demands Washington explain after reports say that the U.S. military hacked into Russian networks. This just came out on November 5th. Russia expects Washington to provide an explanation after a report claimed that Pentagon cyber offensive specialists have hacked into Russia's power grids, telecommunications networks, and the Kremlin's command systems for possible sabotage. If no official reaction from the American administration follows, it would mean state cyber terrorism exists in the U.S., according to this. NBC News said earlier that an exclusive report that U.S. military hackers have penetrated crucial infrastructure in Russia, making them vulnerable to attack by secret American cyber weapons should the U.S. deem it necessary. This is interesting because it ties into something I'm going to be covering in the next probably segment three. Very interesting. Let's check out the pulse of the dying country of Venezuela. Venezuelan military now is to take over distribution of medical and surgical supplies amid shortages. The military is taking over, well, they took over the food supply, right? And this is from Latino.foxnews.com. As Venezuelans struggle with widespread shortages in everything from basic foodstuffs to toilet paper, the socialist nation's defense minister announced on Wednesday that the military will take control of the distribution of all medical and surgical supplies managed in all hospitals. Wow, everything from common painkillers to cancer and HIV drugs have become almost impossible to find across the country, and some doctors have resorted to using veterinary medications in lieu of human ones. Well, veterinary medications work really well, and they're a fraction of the cost, so makes sense. Absolute madness, reportedly, in a German town to separate refugees. A town in Germany is erecting an enormous wall to separate its residents from refugees housed at a local migrant camp. The controversial 4-meter, that's 13.1 feet, barrier will stand higher than the Berlin Wall. Located in a suburb of Munich, the stone wall is aimed at dividing the town's families from around 160 unaccompanied child refugees. And when they say child refugees, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 25, 30-year-old child refugees. It's interesting to see the pictures of they show child refugees. Hungry child refugees. But you look at the pictures and it's like, this guy's got to be at least 30 years old. He's an unaccompanied child refugee. But they're set to move into a nearby shelter that's currently under construction, 160 of them. So to protect their girls and their women, they have to build something akin to a Berlin Wall in their own community to protect them from the invaders that the national government is bringing in. Unbelievable. Great. Absolute madness. Great title. National news. Oh, of course, we came out of grid down this weekend to find out what had happened in the world. And we see Comey saying there's nothing to see here. 650,000 emails. And how many insiders did we say leaking from the inside of the FBI and NYPD and others saying expect indictments? The stuff that is revealed in these emails is so damning. Indictments are coming. And then nothing. Comey steps up again. Nothing to see here. So the smug Wicked Witch of the East prances around with that smirk on her face because, well, she got away with it again. But her sins will find her out. Let's go to regional news real quick. A great story out of HelenaIR.com. Montana Supreme Court rules for jury trials in civil forfeiture cases. This is huge and so long overdue. This is something that every state, if you've got a patriot or patriots in your legislature, you need to ram through a bill like this. The Montana Supreme Court says citizens have a right to trial by jury before the state can take private property in civil forfeiture cases. Hallelujah. A ruling that bolsters a law that state legislators passed last year to limit police seizures. Tuesday's unanimous ruling by the High Court puts Montana in line with most other states that have upheld jury trials in civil forfeiture proceedings. After consideration of both American and English common law, federal jurisprudence, and decisions from our sister states, We join the majority of the states and the federal courts and conclude that there is a right to trial by jury, Justice Laurie McKinnon wrote in the opinion. About time. Look at your state's laws. Look, if you want to know how to do it, just look at Montana state law on forfeiture, juries, requirement to have a jury, and just duplicate that piece of legislation and enter it into your state. That's just tyranny. Tyranny. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We're going to talk about the elections and keeping our heads on straight through it all. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies.
3 days. 3 days till the most hated election of all time takes place. 3 days until we either have two of the most hated candidates become our next leader. 3 days until we could either have World War III or economic collapse. Fellow patriots, we are about to see change in our country like it never has before. Hello everyone, Fox 519 here, and today I'm bringing you my pre-election warning to be ready for two paths. Stay tuned and stay focused as I bring you Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Mmm. You smell that? Yeah, that's coffee. Not just any coffee. That's Sister's Coffee Roasters coffee. The rich aroma of the custom roasted beans. You know what I'm talking about. There just isn't a morning that is right unless you have had a good cup of coffee to start your day. Why would you start it off with a bad cup of coffee? It's the thing that gets you out of bed and ready for a busy day of prepping. It's time for you to step up your coffee game and order your roasted or unroasted beans for your food storage from sisterscoffeeroasters.us. You want to get the best coffee in the readout? Again, sisterscoffeeroasters.us. That's two sisters, one great cup of coffee. sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Welcome back. I'm going to start with a quote tonight. We have everyone on the phone, and we are severely overwhelmed. That quote comes directly from Keith Bansmer, VP of My Patriot Supply. Right now, folks, purchases of long-term food supply companies, their business is going up and up and up. It is staggering how fast they are running out of supplies. People are now awake and are running for the door with whatever they can tuck under their arms. It's time, folks. I want to offer you my what the next 72 hours could look like as we proceed forward to Tuesday here. I'm going to give you the step-by-step guide to financial survival for the next few days, and I'm going to give you 10 steps you need to take right away. Now, this isn't my normal podcast I do for you guys for John Jacob and I in the Economy, but I feel it's really super important this week to provide you these things. Number one, first and foremost, get your grocery shopping done Monday or Monday night. If things go sideways, bread, milk, eggs will be the first things that go. Staples will be the thing that absolutely come off the shelves right away. We've seen it with hurricanes. We've seen it with other national disasters. And that is exactly what's going to take place. Go get your standard grocery shopping done. This will carry you through the next week or 2 weeks, as ever you do it, to come. Number two, Monday afternoon, go pull any excess cash you can out of the bank. Currently, there is a national threat that ISIS said that they would attack polling places at which people gather. Yes, there will be some risk associated with this endeavor of going to the banks and asking for this cash. But the likelihood of banks closing for security reasons if attacks begin is very, very high. If I was going to destabilize a nation and do it quickly, I would combine physical attacks on soft targets like banks, shopping malls, and other polling places. Combine that with a massive denial of service attack, and you have the makes for public panic, the lights of which we wouldn't know what to do with. Number three, make sure your last run list is built. These are the items that during SHTF, these are the ones that begin that this disappear quickly, but these are the things you should be picking up when you decide to get to the store for that last time. Among them should be, and I would consider them in this order, dry goods like beans, peas, flour, oatmeal, powdered milk, yeast, drink mixes, salt, canned goods, canned meat, canned soup, canned vegetables, and canned fruit. And then it's onto your meats that you can then turn into jerky. Follow that with toilet paper, paper plates, dish soaps, and cleaning supplies and personal hygiene items. Do not, I repeat, do not buy any junk food at this point. The masses are going to go for those things first. They will eat through that stuff, and they will not have the stick-to-their-ribs food that we are going to be needing to take care of everybody else. Now, some might say that I missed a few items at least, but at this point in the game, the hour draws way too late to be considering that. Number four, buy silver if you haven't already. Get to several coin dealers throughout the readout. They can take care of you. Now, if you have silver, make sure you have the final stock of what you know, and then watch the silver price over the next 2 weeks. Now, if it goes off even quicker than that and the market goes offline, you will have the last and final price you know it was valued at. Print that out. Make sure you have that handy. Number five, reposition supplies if you can. If you can move some items and keep them away from your primary retreat, do so now. Number six, make your lead investments now. I think you know what I mean. If you haven't read Survival Blog's pre-election plan, do it now. Don't wait. If Clinton wins the election, prices on those items are going to skyrocket. Buy your supplies pre-election. And then go in and get that lead sighted in. Number seven, get to your local farmer's supply and buy up whatever seeds you have left on closeout. Most retailers right now are clearing out their GMO seeds for 75 or 80% of the price. Yes, they are GMO, and you probably won't be able to go out and buy a survival seed vault right now to get them here in time for things to go wrong. GMO seeds will at least get you through the next growing season and feed you. Number eight, if you've been thinking about buying hand tools, do it now. If the power goes out, you don't have the hand tools to compensate or a way to charge batteries. You should have hand tools. That would be hand drills. That would be draw knives. That would be screwdrivers. Anything you can. I've been investing in crosscut saws, axes, and other hand tools all year long. That way I can keep my home maintained in case of loss of power. Number nine, buy some fuel and stabilize it. Have it ready for your generators or vehicles. Number 10, John Jacob, you can go ahead and let out a sigh now. Comms. If you don't have your comms ready, likelihood is you're running out of time very, very quickly. Print out the comms plan from Radio Free Readout. Make sure you have your comms up and ready for grid down communications. Folks, this may be just a small list, and I wish there was more time to give you what you are needed to be ready. Now, final thought for you. You need to ensure that you're spiritual ready for what is about to befall us. But remember this. God can use everything to his glory. He can judge, control, and be ready to show his glory through in any situation. This morning, my children and I were reading about when God parted the Red Sea, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he followed Moses to his doom, and the glory of the Lord was shown for all to see when the walls of the sea crashed in around Israel's enemy. Whoever lands on this throne, doesn't matter. God's going to be glorified. He's on our side. Well, thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy, and for Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.
Segment 2, right here at the Voice of the Resistance, is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com to get in touch with the God-fearing patriots that are helping others just like you get strategically relocated into the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Check them out at selkirkmountainrealestate.com. All right, welcome, right-wing mainstreamists. We've got an election going on. Oh, my goodness. And I just saw Lady Gaga putting on a concert in a Nazi SS uniform, telling us that we need to vote for the Grand Fuhrer, Hitlery, and how appropriate. That just occurred to me. Have you seen Hitlery? How many people have said she's going to be a tyrant? She is going to be an absolute tyrant like nothing ever seen before. She will be our Hitlery. Well, how appropriate for Lady Gaga to usher Hitlery onto the stage wearing a black tight-fitting Nazi SS-esque uniform, red armband and all, to promote Hitlery. There's an article here. It is called... Oh, speaking of that, wherever there's a Hitlery or a Hitler, there is going to be an underground. start preparing for that now. You can go to the American Readout Gear Store, which is down this week. The staff are not available. They'll process the orders when they get back in this week. But the Underground Project Thumb Drive, helping Christian patriots prepare for the coming underground. Step-by-step guides on how to do that if that becomes necessary. Go check it out at the American Readout Gear Store. It's a thumb drive. It's $15, and it is worth a lot more than that. There's an article here someone sent me by Dr. Jack Wheeler. It's titled "An Illegitimate Presidency." He says, by the time you read this, and of course, by the time most of you are listening to this, the election will be over. But he says, by the time you read this, I'll be at Mount Everest base camp. I'll be getting the election results by sat phone. If I were a betting man, I'd bet that Donald Trump will win the presidency on Tuesday. That's if the election is honest, which it is very likely not. Friday, November 4th, the famous hacker known as Guccifer 2.0 reported that software installed in Federal Election Commission computers has been rigged for the Democrats. And I was just looking on Drudge. There's glitches happening. Well, technical difficulties happening at some polling places. And that's not including the women that, you know, the woman that they caught voting on behalf of dead people twice, now facing felony charges, as she should. Let me continue with the article. This may be done via a technique known as fraction magic within GEMS election systems, which counts about 25% of all the votes cast throughout the U.S. So what happens if Hillary wins the presidency illegitimately? Good question, huh? Also on Friday, my friend of many years, Eric Prince, gave a radio interview in which he disclosed that it was the New York Police Department via a warrant to examine the computer of Anthony Weiner, suspected of child porn texting, that discovered the 650,000 emails of Huma Abedin stored in a huge Microsoft Outlook program on Weiner's laptop. And he says, Eric, whom I can vouch for as a man of highest integrity, reports that they, the New York PD, found State Department emails. They found a lot of other really damning criminal information, including money laundering, including the fact that Hillary went to this sex island with convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. I've seen that article floating around a lot. Bill Clinton went there more than 20 times. Hillary Clinton there went there at least 6 times. So the other side of that coin is there's so many people that the point is so many people have lost faith in our system that they even believe that even if Hillary wins, nobody's going to trust whether or not the elections are legitimate. There's so many rumors swirling on both sides. If Trump wins, the left is going to believe, oh, this thing was rigged. There's a lot of folks that are bracing for the societal impact of a Trump win. Now, we ran a hypothetical scenario called Operation Premonition early fall, late summer, for AMRON Corps. It's a nationwide training exercise. And the scenario was based on Trump narrowly winning the elections, followed by riots, which get out of control, and where we see police officers being ambushed by members of the Black Lives Matter community. We see that on a larger scale, but only in the response to mobilized National Guard troops get ambushed. Shots are fired and prominent leaders of minority communities and gang leaders are killed. And the gangs announce alliances and begin forming to declare war on the police and the National Guard. This is just a training scenario, just to develop a a purpose for an excuse to get on the air and simulate. For some reason, there's chaos and there's the grid's down and we must have backup radio communications because the communications infrastructure is down. So that's what this Operation Premonition was. Also, in the scenario, several Latino community leaders began declaring that the Southwest United States can't be ruled by racist Trump. Therefore, they demand autonomy to rule themselves and an autonomous region or state carved out of the Southwest United States, and for that land to be returned to its rightful owners, the Latino community. So things begin to escalate, and this is when jihadis take advantage of the opportunity and begin attacking, physical attacks against the fiber optic and other portions of the telecommunications infrastructure and the power grid. So the power starts falling, rolling blackouts, and internet and cell phone services are disrupted. So there's the scenario. With any of our scenarios that we use for training, we could make it aliens, landed. We can make it an asteroid hits the Pacific and knocks out the world's grid communications. It could be a solar flare. We just make something up. Operation Premonition is something we feel could be a plausible scenario that could unfold. Now, a lot of people are thinking this is more than just plausible. They're bracing for expecting it. Now, we're a nation under judgment, so we have to expect the unexpected. Nothing should surprise us. We might be dismayed, but don't be surprised. Nothing should shock us, because these are turbulent times, and this is only the beginning of what's to come. There's going to be some challenges, but we look for through this through a lens of hope that maybe the Lord's hand is resetting things and give us an opportunity, hopefully, to be able to rebuild something that glorifies God. But the old system has to be torn down. Not by us. No person's going to tear it down, but supernaturally, when it all comes down, that could be the wiping of the slate or providing the opportunity for something, you know, that's God-honoring to rise up. Someone sent me an email in light of all this social political uncertainty. They said, I would just like to ask of you to urge calm in your upcoming podcast. The propaganda is going to be running high. Many scenarios could be already set up and ready to deploy. Remain calm and let it blow over. It's not as it seems. Could I ask that you put out a segment reminding your listeners that they must remain calm and not do what the provocateurs want? I had made a note to myself to mention something along these lines. I like the way he presented the request. It was articulated well. And I think that's something that all of us, people, as soon as they start hearing, well, the Russians are moving a frigate in off the coast of Syria. Are we going to raise the AMCON level? With all, you know, and I'm like, hold on, just chill. Just relax. Let's observe. There is no AMRON operator that should not be able to be on the air immediately if something happens. Okay, there is no indication of an imminent threat disrupting our telecommunications. If we see something on the horizon, we will ramp up the AMCON level from 5 to 4 to 4 to 3. Those are various different levels of readiness with a checklist of things that you should be doing to increase your readiness. But a good AMRON operator should always be ready to go operational anytime. You shouldn't have to be reminded of that, right? So as we see this unrest and uncertainty, and no matter what happens tonight and tomorrow, as the election results come in, they're questioned. There's hostilities. There's lashback. There's rumors. We have to have the level heads to be able to objectively analyze information as it's unfolding and not let the emotions take over. And especially not to grab a hook with a worm on it and get taken. Get bamboozled, right? Get played. So calm,
cool heads observe, make rational decisions amidst the chaos. And your chances of survival are astronomical. Just keep that in mind. Whoa? Whoa. All right. Segment three coming up here at the John Jacob Schmidt Show. My name is your name too. Stay right there.
It's down to the wire, and we Christian patriots have a duty. Some are asking, given the choices we have, why even vote? I'll tell you why, with a question. Do you think there are only two people running for public office this November? John Jacob, Matt Shea, Heather Scott, and many others have been saying it for a long time. We will never fix this country's problems from Washington, D.C. Our solutions are at the local level. There are good, conservative, God-fearing patriots on the ballot who need your vote. From city council positions to county commissioners, legislators, and many more. Christians make up the largest demographic who are not registered to vote. They also make up the largest voting bloc of registered voters who do not vote. If you don't do your duty as a citizen, you bear the responsibility for the condition of our nation, our states, and your local government. In a representative republic, the people get the government they ask for. And when they don't represent, they get the government they deserve. I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Radio Free Readout.
Segment three, brought to you by Come and Take It. Katie Armour, strategically relocated from outside the wire in occupied territory, and they moved that Patriot-owned business inside the wire, inside the American Redoubt, in the heart of the American Redoubt. But they are working overtime, producing body armor. They've got the hard plates, and they've got the soft armor, front, back, side plates, and the armor carriers, and a lot more gear. Go check them out at katiearmor.com. And also, remember, when you place your order, they've got free shipping on all their products. So check them out today, support a Patriot-owned business, and get armored up. Hoo-ah. All right, elections. There's a DHS report that came out. We've seen many of them. The government is all spun up about the potential for cyber attacks. I have to stop here just a minute. They're so worried about cyber attacks, but they're assuring everyone. I haven't heard anything about, I think the DHS taking over the elections to, you know, ensure safe elections. That came a big announcement, huge fireball, and all of a sudden it just vanished like a flash in the pan. I'm wondering if the pushback became so great. Look, this is an agency which is part of the executive branch of our government that is in charge of protecting the elections, ran by an executive which is full of Muslims and communists and anti-Americanists. Do you really trust DHS? Well, there's so much pushback, they kind of vanished. I don't know if they went covert about it, or if they just decided that wasn't a good idea. But DHS, need to follow up with that. Are they still ensuring the safety and security of the elections? Well, they did put out a report saying hackers could meddle with the elections results. Are they setting the stage for something? What if Trump wins? What if Trump wins and they say, whoa, hey, we just discovered there was a major security breach. The elections have been compromised. So foul, do-over, didn't count.
Trump's victory is, well, it's not legitimate and it's not valid because we've had a cyber attack, which makes the results non-conclusive. I wonder. Now, that could be the very thing to get some people all spun up. This is what I was saying in the last episode. Keep your heads about you no matter what rumors are swirling around. Don't take bait. Okay, don't bite on whatever bait is hanging out there because there could be a hook in it. Take your time. Circle around the bait. Look at it first. Do you see a little filament hanging from this bait? You see a little shiny thing that looks like a hook? Don't bite. Keep calm, everyone. Keep calm. But there's some things. This is... I've been exchanging emails, of course, with a lot of people, and just a couple mentors out there, Cold War era warriors. Been around the block a few times, pretty sharp, worked with a lot of psyops and propaganda and misinformation, disinformation, Cold War scheming type folks that have they've seen it all. And so this was part of an exchange. I'm going to read this to you. I've been following this story thread for a few months now. It started with the asinine news article featuring the administration statement that the U.S. was getting ready to stage covert cyber attacks on Russia in retaliation for whatever. Remember when I covered this? The U.S. announced it's going to begin carrying out covert cyber attacks. Now, do you see the failed logic here of the story in the first paragraph? The United States announced it's going to begin carrying out covert cyber attacks on Russia. Now, remember in the news and commentary, we just saw this report. Russia is claiming that the United States just took carried out a cyber attack against the Kremlin and their infrastructure and their communications infrastructure. They're demanding an answer. Something's not right here. You don't carry out covert operations and precede it with a news announcement, a public service announcement. That's not covert. Are you getting it? This is intended for all audiences to know what's happening. As the election approaches, this meme seems to be getting more play, as evidenced by yesterday's ridiculous headline, Military Hackers, Russia Cyber Attack. Okay, U.S. military hackers are ready to respond fiercely to any cyber attack by Russia. Having secretly penetrated Moscow's electric grid, well, not anymore, telecommunications networks and command systems, according to senior intelligence and other classified documents. Other classified documents? Now, this meme is that we are ready to respond, followed by the troubling public statement that we've already secretly, not anymore, Sparky, penetrated their systems. Not going to jump directly to conclusions, but it does have the characteristics of putting in the plumbing for a false flag. Bing, 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 bing. That's what I'm saying. Hypothetical scenario would be that our own leadership takes down the U.S. grid and blames it on a preemptive strike or counterattack by Russia. And what just happened? We just got the Russians claiming that they've been hacked and cyber attacked after a week, 2 weeks after we've claimed that we are going to do it. So now we can expect the counterattack, right? And what better time to come back with a cyber counterattack than on election day, today, or tonight? Timing and purpose possibilities run the gamut, the most likely being disruption of elections, follow-on action to civil unrest following election results, inauguration disruption, tripwires for martial law, and so on. Most sensitive period being between Tuesday and January 20th, this time window we're just going into today.
to the adage that you can't prove intent, only capability, if we're openly claiming that we can take down the Russian systems, and assuming it's not a spiel to whip them up, dangerously provocative, by the way, then it stands to reason, in light of past few years of NSA revelations, that we are poised to take down ours and friendlies as well. Huh. Good point. Take down our own system so we can point and say, and look, Hillary's already begun with the Russians have attacked and hacked my email system, trying to affect our elections. So she's helping set the stage for a confrontation with Russia already. It's going to be very interesting times. Very interesting times indeed. So remember, we belong to him. They might be uncertain to us, but they're not uncertain to him. That's why we have to continue to trust in him. If you're not trusting in him, what in the world are you using as an anchor in this world of shifting sand and continuously changing winds of doctrine, of ideas? What is your anchor? What is your rock? I don't know what people that don't have the Lord, I have no idea what they're just being blown around like a feather. No, not for me. I'd rather stay close to something that's solid. All right, last segment coming up. Ladies, I want to say something to you. Some of you are going to be offended. I hope not. I hope you take it to heart. But I got a message for you. Something that came up in the last couple of weeks from conversations that I've had. Stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I'm Heather Scott, your Republican District 1A state representative. When I started 2 years ago, North Idaho was ranked sixth of 35 districts in the state for growing government, and I made it one of my goals to fix that problem and educate citizens to effectively wield their power. I can proudly say North Idaho is now one of the most liberty-minded small government voting districts in the state. Our citizens are highly engaged and using their power to rein in and control overzealous elected officials and bureaucrats. I have proven I am a strong voice for North Idaho, not afraid to take on the establishment for veterans, gun rights, and we the people. I believe in a strong sovereign state, individual freedoms, and bottom-up governing, and the power of the educated citizen. I urge you to check out my website at voteheatherscott.com and join me to help grow freedom across this state. Paid for by Heather Scott for North Idaho, Andrew Scott Treasure.
The last segment brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. They have multiple services, including water rights permitting, property assessments, master planning, greenhouse design, edible forest garden design, water storage and access planning, strategic landscape design. So begin planning your property improvements now. Go check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Planning your landscape with forethought to integrate the primary needs of food production, water access, energy supply, and security features. These are critical things. Check them out today. This last couple of weeks, I've talked to several guys who've talked about the subject came up of the underground. What if your pastor had to go underground? What if you had to go underground with your pastor? What if you had to go underground because you were, you know, in the underground project, I ran with a series of what if there was this tyrannous Nazi-type, Stalin-type regime that rose up, or if we were invaded by a foreign country and your non-sanctioned, unapproved Bible, or the fact that you owned guns previously, the fact that you were involved in a home church congregation, whatever it was, and you drew the line, you said, this is something that I cannot comply with, you are now a felon. They found you out. They've got your name. And now they're coming after you. And there's some guys that are saying that their wives would be so angry with them. So you'd put yourself in a situation where you run off, get me, leave me here alone, and bring in firewood by myself, take care of the chickens by myself. You better not put me in a situation like that where you run off and leave me. You can't do anything dangerous or risky, because where would that leave me? Well, here's a message for the ladies. Now, sometimes this is swapped. Sometimes the women are the patriots and the guy's sitting there drinking beer, watching TV, and has no interest in this, wants to, whatever, play golf or whatever. But most of the time it's the women. And how many guys have said, she would be mad at me if something happened, I got arrested or something, and she's like all by herself there to take care of the place? Well, ladies, it is not all about you. This is such an American woman thing. I mean, what a paradigm for men to have trepidation about taking risks to ensure for their posterity, so their children and grandchildren and future generations can have freedom. To do the right thing and continue carrying on underground church services despite the dangers. There's women that are saying, if things come to that, you better not place me in a situation where you're taken away and I'm left here by myself. Wow. I want to say something. The reason why you have the soft, cushy, blessed, and prosperous lifestyle you have is because there were men and women who laid it all on the line. Those words, we pledge to these things, we pledge our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor, are not just rhetoric. Those people had to live those words. And I know it was 240 some years ago, and that was a different time, that was a different era. History repeats itself. And when tyranny comes, the only chance that you will have for your children and grandchildren to have the prosperity that you're enjoying right now, by the way, is because somebody somewhere along the line laid it all down, and many of them lost it all. How many men were hauled off to prison or killed, arrested, while the women had to start chopping their own firewood, they had to feed the chickens themselves, they had to shovel snow, and they had to dig deep, and they had to get tough again? Because the men were doing what they had to do, and many women also got hauled off and arrested or killed. World War II, Germany, Poland, France, all over Europe. There are women out there. I can't imagine a woman. You will not join the resistance. You will not. You will sit. You're going to make shoes all day because that's what you do for a living. You will not. You're not going to hide Jews in our house and put us in danger. What would that? What if you got arrested? What would that? What would happen to me? Me. I don't think you understand the times that we are potentially faced with that will be required of us. People in Soviet Russia, the Soviet Union, under Stalin, those who didn't fight, just ask Solzhenitsyn about the cost of not taking any risks and not fighting. The men got hauled off. And then guess what? Later, the women got hauled off too. Why? Well, they must have been accomplices. I want you guys to start reading some things. The voice of the martyrs, you know, of course, you know, we support them. There's tons of stories day after day, month after month. I mean, it comes with a monthly publication. Eben is one of many women in Vietnam whose husbands have been put in prison for their outspokenness and protest about discrimination against Christians. She now has a daily struggle to support her family on her own. There is no mention of this woman holding resentment toward her husband for being outspoken and placing himself at risk of being arrested. There's nothing here about her animosity because he was protesting about discrimination against Christians, knowing full well it could get him landed in jail. There's no discussion here about, well, you better not do that because what will happen to me? I will have to take care of the family. That would place me in great hardship. She now has a daily struggle to support her family on her own. But one thing she never regrets, despite her hardships, is her husband's stand for what is right. She stood by her man. She backed him up. He is currently serving 8 years in prison and won't be released until 2020. How will she, together with her four children, survive? Eben is a faithful mother and brings the children up carefully in the way of the Lord. Nai, her husband, was sentenced to 8 years imprisonment on 29 October 2012 with the charge of protesting against the government for legal rights for freedom of religion. It is not the first time he has been arrested. And there's one story after another where the woman does not hold resentment toward her husband. She stands by him. It is difficult. It is hard. And she prays for him regularly. And she carries on with the task of making sure that godly children are being brought up in the way of the Lord. And she takes care of them. And she supports them. And it's difficult. And another thing that we see here a lot, is the community. The community comes around and gathers around the wife and helps support them, brings them over rice, helps to chop wood. See, there's another fundamental problem with our culture. We don't have any tribe. We have no sense of tribe. We are disconnect. Our relationships are superficial. Our relationships are at the church, which is 30 miles away, and in a major catastrophic type of an environment. Your world's going to shrink really quickly. You need to build relationship so if something happens, your community will gather around you. You'll have that frith. You will have that community. You will have that tribe. So if somebody is taken out of the picture, then the community gathers around and helps raise those children, helps the woman, help take care because of the sacrifice she's making and her husband's making for being hauled off. And we don't have these relationships anymore. That's a problem. We need to overcome. You need to build those kind of strong relationships where you know your wife and children are going to be taken care of if something happens to you. Where your wife and children know they will be taken care of. But not if you live in an isolated bubble world where you keep everybody at arm's length and you don't have any relationships built. That's just suffering the consequences of your own neglect. And that's what you're scared of. You need to start thinking differently. We're living in a different time. Different world is coming. China, officials beat pastor's wife. Sometimes it's not just the husband. Sometimes it's the wife that is also victimized. The wife of a church leader was beaten by officials at her home after they had summoned her husband for questioning. This is from 2015. From China Aid. Christian Outreach. Police went to the home of Mrs. Li in Shenyang in the northeastern Liaoning province on 27 May while her husband was out. When she asked to see their warrant, they began to beat her. They pushed me on the bed, covered my mouth, and bound my hands and feet with packing tape. When I tried to get free, they beat me again, Li said. Officers later threatened to bar her son from local schools and force the family's landlord to evict them. Mrs. Lee's ID card had been confiscated the previous day. Her husband, Pastor Wang Zongliang, had been summoned to meet with the Shenyang Domestic Security Protection Squad the the day after to discuss the distribution of religious flyers. Are you admonishing your husband for distributing religious flyers that could get him thrown in jail and you your home invaded? You beaten? Him taken off to jail? Well, there's no mention of any resentment toward her husband. There's only mention, story after story, about the woman praying for her husband, staying strong when he's not there, and continuing to keep the faith. The difference is, the American woman, the wife of a patriot, too many times sees her husband as the adversary. When they come and haul him off for distributing religious flyers, something he knows he can go to jail for if caught, but he feels the calling. He feels like there is a cause he must rise up to. And in other places of the world, the woman has the full proper perspective that it's not her husband who is the bad guy. They know full well the tyrant is the bad guy. The tyrant is the tyrant. In America, the woman sees her husband as the bad guy for putting the family in this situation, not the jackbooted tyrants who kicked the door in and slammed all of the children to the floor and shot the family dog and broke out all your windows with flashbangs. No, they're not the bad guys. They're just the authorities that just do what authorities do. My husband is the bad guy for causing all of this. This is a twisted, American way of thinking. And sometimes the wives are arrested. I've mentioned the story about Richard Wurmbrand's wife, tortured for Christ, hauled off. He had a wife, Sabina. Sabina Wurmbrand's husband had been taken, his fate unknown, and now their young son would be left alone as police arrested her. Sabina Wurmbrand's heart-wrenching story of her imprisonment in Romania speaks of the faithfulness of Christ in every situation. She was concerned about her son being left alone, because what are they going to do? They're going to walk in, the husband's in prison, they snatch up the wife, because she was part of this underground church network. Big mistake. Big taboo. You just know this felony. You're going to prison. And they just leave with her and leave the boy sitting there on the couch. He's on his own for years. Well, that's when the family, that's when the tribe, that's when the community comes around and makes sure that their home and the boy are taken care of, that their belongings are secured. Because they're going to come back in 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years. Doesn't matter. In the meantime, we're going to make sure that you and yours are taken care of until you do return, if you do return. A pastor and his family are arrested in Iran. Police arrested a Protestant Christian pastor, his wife, and two teenage children in northern Iran on May 23rd, 2004. According to a May 26th report by Compass Direct, Pastor Khosrou Yousefi and his wife, Nasreen, were arrested in Iran, along the Caspian Sea. There's no mention of this woman holding resentment toward her husband for placing them in this situation, doing such dangerous things, and making things hard for us. They were part of the mission. They were sold out. These are modern-day examples. Deborah Reed Franklin played an important role in the founding of the United States simply by taking on the management of her family business. Businesses. Read the Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31. She's a businesswoman. Well, here we are. Deborah Reed Franklin played an important role in the founding of the United States simply by taking on the management of her family's businesses. By so doing, she allowed her husband, founding father Benjamin Franklin, the opportunity to actively pursue his role in state and national politics in the decades before and after the American Revolution. You think that was hard on her? You think it was hard for her? There's no mention of her resentment toward him that I can find. For placing her in this situation by her having to do all these extra duties while he gallivants around the countryside
and Europe, chasing his little patriot dream while I'm here dealing with all this hardship. Darn you for placing me in this situation. It was the season they were in which required certain things from each of them. In 1765, the British government, in an effort to raise money to pay off its war debts, imposed the Stamp Act on the American colonists, forcing them to pay a tax on each paper item they used. On September 17, 1765, a number of Philadelphia citizens threatened to attack Deborah Franklin's house, protesting that her politician husband had not fought against the Stamp Act vigorously enough, so they're going to attack his home with him gone and her there by herself. Do you think she was mad at her husband because of the situation that his politics and patriot-y things that he's off doing has now brought hardship to their home because now there's an angry mob wanting to attack my home out front? No. Franklin was in England. With the help of some armed relatives, she told the crowd she would not allow herself to be forced from her own home. Soon the angry mob retreated, leaving the house in peace. Sometimes when your husband is called to a higher purpose, he needs you more than ever. To keep the faith, to stay strong, to not accuse him of being the bad guy, for you to have the proper perspective of who the tyrant really is. And you stay strong. And you will make history. And even if you don't, it is not about you. It's about something higher. Especially when you're in ministry. He needs you to be strong for him. And men, you need to do everything you can to safeguard and take care of them. But we have what we have today. Because men and women pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And that could be required of our generation. Possibly before we, sooner than we realize. With that, you have a blessed week. Keep cool heads. No matter what happens from the elections, and be ready to stand for liberty. This is John Jacob Schmidt. God bless you all, and good day.